any vehicle. Donate at wjffradio.org.
Hey there, this is Jennifer Gebhardt. I'm a volunteer here at WJFF, wishing you a happy holiday season and hoping you can stay warm this December up here. From all of us here at WJFF, thank you for listening. Have a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm Donna Fellenberg, and my guest today is Wayne County, Pennsylvania resident Jeff Sanior, who, along with his partner, Mike Kostovich, owns the fabulous Catskill Antique Store, Time Machine Antiques, on Main Avenue in Hawley, Pennsylvania. How might a person become an antique dealer? There's not just one path, obviously. And how, in this age of no brown furniture, which, by the way, is not true, how does one go about keeping an antique shop current and alive? Jeff and I will talk about that. We'll also hear a wee bit about Jeff's early years and how he came to be one of the Catskills' fabulous characters. Here we go. Welcome to Catskill Character, Jeff.
Hi, Donna. Glad to be here.
So, Jeff, you were born, and for the first 8 years of your life, you were raised in Boston, Massachusetts. Your family then moved to New Jersey, correct?
That's right. I felt like it was moving away, but for my folks who met in New Jersey, it was moving home for them. So, though I spent all the years since that time in New Jersey, I sort of feel like I'm not exactly a Jersey boy, though I might qualify as one.
Well, you're speaking to a Jersey girl, so I'm going to consider you a Jersey guy.
It makes it hard for me to answer the question, where are you from? That's all.
Okay. You told me in an earlier conversation that you picked things off the street that looked interesting, and I did that before my husband and I had two nickels to rub together. Our apartment looked beautiful, but you could only sit on certain pieces of furniture. The others were just for show. So I understand that things kind of call to you. What kind of stuff did you pick up off the street?
You know, it varied. When I was in grade school, the things I remember clearly are several big old floor standing tube style radios, because they had beautiful wooden cases. And the other things were, they varied, an old wind up phonograph and other things I wish I had now to sell, I have to tell you. But then I had my own stint in New York City, where I had an apartment, decorating that with things I found without a nickel to rub together.
So were you one of those guys, Jeff, that liked to take things apart and then put them back together?
Very much so. Hopefully put them back together better than they were.
Yeah, you can have a real disaster sometimes when you do that, correct?
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't go the way you expect, but that's part of the game.
So did you always know that you wanted to be an antique dealer?
You know, I really did enjoy looking at old things, and I did participate in looking at things with my grandma and my ma that lent it a certain extra social aspect, where doing it with someone was part of the enjoyment. It was very much what drew Michael and I into this, because it was something we did as a pastime, and then spending so much time doing it on weekends, it just turned out to be more logical to own a car and buy a house than to go out from the city weekend after weekend, which is sort of how it happened. We ended up buying the biggest antique we own, this house we have that we thought was just a nondescript old thing, but it turned out to be a mid-1800s hand-hewn timber-framed farmhouse underneath layers of unattractive modern wooden paneling, etc. So we ended up with quite a nice treasure there.
Have you been working on that house since you got it?
little by little, but like the cobbler in his own shoes, I was doing building contracting for expensive apartments in New York and making a pretty good business out of it. And when we got there, I just wanted a complete break from that. So what we did do is open a room in the house. As soon as we got it, we just called ourselves an antique shop and put a sign on a folding chair down by the road with no advertising and no nothing, and just whoever saw it came in, and we actually did a little bit of business there, enough to make it interesting to keep pursuing this. And in several different venues, we've progressed to this shop we have now, which is, I'm so happy to say, the best yet. Absolutely the very best we've done so far.
Oh, that's great. You know, I love that story about you buying this house and putting a sign out on a chair on the road.
Yes.
You know, I think that's one of the things that people come to the Catskills for, to find those little shops off the beaten track,
mm-hmm.
right? Where they can find a treasure.
It was a lot of fun, and we got to know people. We had some regular customers who came and brought their friends, which still happens now. We have a lot of people who've come back several times and say, oh, we always come to your shop when we're here, or they bring their friends and present them to us as if we're all members of a group. And we are. We all like looking at old things, and it isn't incidental that there's a social aspect. We try to have a good time in the shop.
This is kind of like that expression, build it and they will come.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say. The shop was just one room, and little by little it got to be two, and then three of our little bitty rooms in our old farmhouse. By then it started to become hard to see where that was going, because it really is a remote area. So we actually had a couple of other in-betweens. This shop that we're the sole proprietors of down on Main Avenue is doing better each year, and this is notwithstanding the shutdown months, true, right through and after the pandemic. So
yeah,
hopefully we're doing something right.
What did you do during the pandemic? Were you completely closed?
For a couple of months, as soon as the state permitted us to have in-store shopping with masks and a barrier, et cetera, we did so. And there were some hardy, intrepid shoppers who masked up and came in. They braved coming out because they were determined to have an experience outside of their homes. And little by little, more and more people have been coming after that. But for those couple of months, we redecorated, put up some new shelves, did a bit of painting, restocked. We didn't stop.
So you made the best out of a bad situation, basically.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, Jeff, I was wondering, do you have your own personal collections? What have you collected throughout the years?
You know, it's hard to say. I think the thing that I have that you might call a collection are a number of interesting baking pieces and serving pieces. I like to cook. I like to serve to friends when the occasion arises. So that might be a collection, although I see those things as useful, but they have to be beautiful as well. My favorite things are something that has a purpose. Sometimes the purpose is just to be beautiful. A piece of attractive furniture can be pretty and not have to do much more, or a beautiful picture for the wall can just be something to enjoy looking at. But there's still something much more going on. It's giving something to the party and participation with you. There's something happening there. I don't think these things are animate in the sense of alive, but they're doing more than just sitting there. They're giving something to you as you look at them.
Yeah, there's an aesthetic pleasure that you get from looking at certain things, and people get different pleasure from different objects.
Yes, yes. And one nice thing about the shop is you get to see other people having their experience. And there are definitely things that I don't have as much of a enjoyment of as others, but knowing that there are people who would enjoy a given thing, I can enjoy presenting it to them. I don't have to be the one to enjoy it always. as long as it's getting enjoyed.
Okay, so I understand how you've opened your first shop at your house, and I know you had for many years the Duck Harbor antique store that I used to go to.
Yes.
But how did you end up in Hawley?
We were traveling to Hawley to put things in a booth we had at the Hawley Antique Exchange. And we were eager to start a business on our own, because that's a multi-dealer shop and you only have a small space and you don't have much say-so over how the overall experience is as you would when it's your shop. So we were looking for a long time, and there was a particular storefront on Main Avenue that my partner Michael loved. It had beautiful store windows, two big display windows flanking a central doorway. And we would literally stop and look at it. Well, the building was for sale and the place wasn't for rent, but I called the realtor and said, would the owner particularly mind if you asked them? Could they rent this space to us in the meantime, even though the building isn't really officially sold right now? And we worked something out. I wheedled it a little and we got a good rapport with the owner, and we've just kept the lease ever since. It's 7 years now.
You know, what I was just thinking, one of the things that's really nice about Time Machine is very high ceilings and you don't smell any mold or must.
That's true. I'm not fond of stuffy smelling antique shops, and I love the high ceiling when you enter. It's got the steps in the middle that bring you to a somewhat different height, which I also like, because we stay in the back and can look down over the front. And it's a very nicely arranged space. I'm very happy with it. And it's an old store. It's been a store since the building was erected in the 1800s. And so it just has the right requisites to make a really nice store.
How do you think Hawley is doing as a town? Do you think it's coming back? It looks like it's a little bit more busy these days.
Yes, it is more busy. The building that we were in was not the only empty storefront when we rented that. And since then, I would say all but one storefront on Main Avenue are occupied. And the one that is not occupied is a building that's for sale. So someone else is going to have to decide what the use of that will be. It's a busier Main Street than when we first began, definitely.
Okay, I think we'll take a quick break here, Jeff, and we'll come right back, okay?
Okay.
You've been listening to Catskill Character with today's guest, Catskills antique dealer Jeff Sanior. We'll be right back after these few messages.
Support comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com.
Tavern on Main, a neighborhood bar and restaurant on Main Street in Jeffersonville, New York, featuring local American fare, specialty cocktails, craft beers, and Sunday brunch. Menu and hours online at TavernOnMainNY.com.
And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
This is Kai Wright. I grew up in the Black Church, and my favorite part of service was the fellowship. The hugs and winks, just check-ins with all these people. I want to create that fellowship on the radio. Every Sunday evening, I hope you'll join me for Notes from America, a live national show. It's a place we can gather to share experiences, process, and figure out where this country is going together. Join me and join the conversation. Sunday evening at 6, live on Radio Catskill.
Hi, I'm Erin West. Join us this Saturday as we host the Berryville Tree Lighting. We've planned a fun evening of music and holiday cheer for you to enjoy right from the comfort of your own living room. We'll be broadcasting live on WJFF, the Berryville Tree Lighting.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. If you've just tuned in, today's guest is Jeff Sanyor, who with his partner Mike Kostovich owns the Time Machine Antiques in Hawley, Pennsylvania. In the first half of the show, Jeff shared his path to becoming an antiques dealer, and in the second half of the show, we're going to talk more about antiques and how Jeff and Mike go about setting up their shops. Let's get back to it. Jeff, I have a notion that the way you treat people has a lot to do with why you're so successful. I was in the shop one day, and I saw you interacting with a gentleman who came into your shop looking like he had seen much better days. And you were just as welcoming and helpful with him as you were with a handful of weekenders who looked very happy and prosperous, who had just been there moments before. You treated them the same. And I thought to myself, you know, this is one of the reasons why I like to come in here too, because of who is greeting me. And I was wondering if this is your philosophy.
I would say there is an intent involved, which is to meet people on an equal basis and see where we are. I wouldn't presume to know what someone is about based on any one or even several things. We're all made up of many aspects. And hopefully, in our business environment that we've created, there's a sense of social connection, not just a business connection. And I do try to meet and greet everyone equally and find out what they're about. Give them a little of what I'm about and see where we are.
You know, as I was driving today, I was listening to Radio Catskill, of course, and there was an interview with the Surgeon General. And he was talking about something that he feels is of utmost importance insofar as our health goes, and that's loneliness. He said there's a terrible thing that's going on, not just in this country, but in other countries, and especially been exacerbated by COVID, is that people are disconnected and they feel lonely. And the lonelier you feel, the lonelier you become, because then you feel kind of ashamed of being alone. And it just spirals downhill. And you have no idea, Jeff, when someone comes into your store, they may just need more than you could ever imagine, a friendly face or a warm welcome. And you'll never know how you've impacted other people.
Well, I think you have to know that you can bring things to a better place. Starting from wherever you are, my definite desire and making an effort as part of that desire is to leave things better than where we started, whatever that means. I'm sure that I got a lot of that from my mother. She was always noted to be, what's the right word, friendly, or maybe the word happy applies, but it wasn't happy with no sharing of sorrowful information. It was just, surely you can make things feel a little better, even if it's just listening to something someone needs to tell you. And I really enjoy doing that. That is what I bring. I'll listen and I'll share, and I want it to end up we're both better off for it.
Exactly. So besides being kind and welcoming to your customers, what else do you think is the secret to having an antique shop that is so successful?
I think you have to like that you're putting things in people's view. And if it is speaking to them, then you can really enhance their life. They can take something from our shop, finding it here, as it were, discovering it, and let it bring them an enjoyable extra dimension to their home or wherever they put it. Or sometimes it's something they're giving to another person and they're enjoying that experience. It really is fun because you can see in people's eyes that they're enjoying themselves. And the things that we're selling are being appreciated. I'm as interested in these objects being enjoyed as in the objects themselves. The value in them is that they offer you something back. They're not just a bunch of things. They have aesthetics, you mentioned that word before, or other ways that they're communicating something to the people who are looking at them.
Where do you find the objects that you sell in your store?
Well, it's a variety of places. Other shops are good because every dealer has certain things that we can bring to a different level at our shop. And they have sources, a variety of them, that you may or may not have any access to. So other dealers are a good source. You would think maybe not, but they are. And at some times in the past, we would go to auctions. I find that a bit time consuming now. We definitely also go to people's houses a lot of times under some circumstance where they're moving to a smaller home or someone has passed on and the house is going to be sold or reconfigured. So there's a certain amount of loss or parting possibly for the part involved. What's that?
Sorry, Jeff, that's the problem with doing your show at home.
Oh, no problem.
You never know what's going to pop up.
So, I'm just making sure I didn't push the wrong button.
No.
So other shops, sometimes auctions, more in the past than presently, homes. We go into homes, and a lot of times the best way to help with the situation is group up some things and say, for these number of things here, we'll put them physically in a little grouping and say, for this, we can offer you that much money and work out a price. And sometimes it's several times we'll go back to a house under those circumstances.
I have a friend who has a beautiful store in Narrowsburg, and he told me that he creates vignettes of objects that tell a story. And every customer then has the opportunity to create their own story about the object. There's a bit of psychology involved in what you're doing, isn't there?
Oh, I would say so. You can't always exactly know what the response will be, but definitely there are things that look good with each other. And it's more of a, I would say, an instinctive kind of a feeling kind of aesthetic kind of putting together. There aren't necessarily straight logical connections or associations. And I know within our shop, moving the things around from one place to the other in the shop can make the thing new again, or I'll have something in a certain location for a length of time, move it, and right away somebody notices it and wants it. So putting things with each other does create an experience in our customers' minds.
Yeah. As we move through life, we purchase things for our homes, and if we're lucky, we travel and then we buy things for our home. But at the end of the day, when our time is up, we leave all of that behind. Do you ever have to deal with families of deceased people?
Well, we certainly end up buying items from a home where the parties are deceased. And it's my perfectly clear process to exhort the people involved to have asked every family member or friend or any other interested party to exhaust themselves in that respect before asking my involvement, because I say I don't need any of those things. I'd be happy to help bring them to a new place, give them another party's appreciation, sell them on, make some money in the process, which is ultimately necessary, or we can't have the shop and we can't run the business. So with the understanding that I'm offering to help, I usually have a good reception, and I can't name a time when I've had a serious problem about someone wanting something that we got. I always make it clear, check with everyone you can first. The interaction between family members after someone's deceased can be a rather complicated situation.
Absolutely. Do you ever fall in love with an object in your shop? And you have pains when you see someone walking out the door with it. Has that ever happened to you?
Very, very rarely, and only to a small degree. I'll say why. There are so many things that we've owned and let go of, and other things that we aren't ready to let go of, which aren't here. And if we notice something here in the shop that seems still too good to sell, we take it off sale pretty quick.
Oh, okay.
I know what happens. There's something that goes on when someone's interested, and I could be the person, when someone's interested in something, someone else comes along and says, I want that. We'll have people look at something and really think about it. And we don't tell them in a way that's meant to be anything but truthful when we say, you know, if you leave that, the next person might just take it, because it happens more often than you might think. And it's not just a random occurrence.
Well, that's interesting. It's almost like they create some kind of energy around the object.
I have really speculated on this, Donna. I have thought about it. It's either that the energy has been imparted by the interested party, or the thing itself just is in this moment when it's the universe is wanting it. Something happens. No question. Someone comes. I mean, it could be 10 minutes later and they just run right to it and off it goes.
Wow. That's fascinating, Jeff.
It's really something. Yes.
Well, I've really enjoyed talking to you today. And before we go, I wanted you to tell the listener if there's anything going on in Hawley for the Christmas season.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Our best event of the year, if you want my opinion. The Downtown Hawley Partnership does a series of events. There's one mostly every month of the year, and you can look it up under Downtown Hawley Partnership. But the one that's coming up is called Hawley Winter Fest. And there's a website, all one word, hawleywinterfest.com. There's a lot of events. There's singing. There's Christmas carols. There's decorating gingerbread men and decorating a tree. There's a horse-drawn carriage, just to name a few. A show in the Ritz Theater with Santa Claus at the end, which is geared towards youngsters. It's a nice day. Saturday would be the busiest day. Friday and Sunday are part of it. So the 9th, 10th, and 11th of December.
Thanks for that information. And thank you again for joining me. You've been a wonderful guest.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Catskill Character with today's guest, antique dealer Jeff Sanyor. Jeff's shop is Time Machine Antiques in Hawley, Pennsylvania. Catskill Character is on every Saturday at 11:30 on Radio Catskill. The last Saturday of the month, Greg Triggs hosts Travels with Triggs. Please join us then for more conversations with fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Thanks so much for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from The DeBruce in Livingston Manor, New York. An award-winning restaurant and internationally recognized hotel overlooking the Willowemic Valley. TheDeBruce.com. From The Cooperage Project in Honesdale. Dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you.
In public radio, we value our relationship with each and every one of our listeners. You listen to us, and we listen to you, too. So keep our connection strong. When you join those who donate to Radio Catskill, you'll power more of the news you trust and more of the music you enjoy. So add your voice and your gift before the year ends by donating at wjffradio.org. And thank you for being one of our valued listeners.
On this week's On the Media, a strange cast of characters is bringing a very old form of prejudice back to the media main stage.
De Fuentes, EA, and Trump is like a perfect encapsulation of the messy, confusing landscape of anti-Semitism.
But why are we paying attention this time? On the next On the Media from WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello.
Your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. We are Radio Catskill.
your community radio station, keeping you connected. Radio Catskill,